be turning in your Bibles over to the book of Mark. I wanted to make an announcement, too, about next week when Brother Hillard will be with us. We will have a time of questioning after he speaks in the services. So we thought it might be nice that if we would get the lunches as if we've done them before. So get with Jamie, get with Carla, and if you plan on being here, we'll try to get those things ready. So I'm sure that he's going to be leaving relatively quickly after that because he's got a pretty good drive. He lives out there in Illinois, so I think it's a 6 to 8 hour drive. But we do want to, you know, have that time of questioning for him also. I do want to thank the church for the prayers and the love that's been shown to us. For me and Carla, for Kendra and Ludwin, they've got some long days. We left yesterday a little bit before 3. Texting from back and forth, Kendra was. And I told Carla, I said, text Kendra, we're going across the bridge into Ohio. Kendra texted back, you're going to make it home before we do. I asked that you would remember them. Thankful for the prayers for little Alessio. We know he's in God's hands. Those doctors up there, they're just instruments. But we sure appreciate all the prayers and the love that's been shown to us. Kendra and Ludwin are listening to the broadcast this morning, so, and I'm sure that there are others that's listening. I'm glad that we're able to do that. And when I was first thinking about what to do a lesson on this morning, you know, when Brother Joe and I was asked way back in January about a lesson, I think the Lord gave me a lesson. Problem is, he gave Brother Joe part of my lesson. I told him, you know, we just, I told him, I said, I should have gone first. But there were some things that were on my mind in my daily readings, in the scripture reading. And, you know, I thought where my thoughts were going ahead when I was reading one morning. And I've kind of bounced back and forth. Back in the Old Testament, I'll go read, and then I'll go over and read the New Testament some. But what was impressive to me was what I see here in the book of Mark. And, you know, there's many places that seem like we like to go vacations to. Where we go. Places that came to my mind when I was reading in the scriptures. You know, it's not a coincidence that many of us like to go to the ocean. There's just something about that peacefulness, the sound of the waves that are coming in and going out. I get a picture in my mind right now of Carla and Kristen dragging those chairs down to the water so they can stick their feet. Haley's mom, Cheryl, she goes. Think I get out of working at the beach? Nope, I got to drag them chairs up and back. Here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 13, about the time that Christ was tempted of Satan after he'd been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, it says in verse 13, it says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. And then if you read on here, and what it says in verse 14, it tells us, now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. John had been put into prison. Jesus came forth preaching the gospel message. And then if you look what it says, you think about the things that Christ has already faced. Then it looks what it says in verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee. We see here within these verses that it talks about how that Jesus began to call his disciples. And we see here within these verses that Simon and Andrew were called. And if you go on over into chapter 2 here, if you remember when Brother Toby was here, he mentioned these verses over here about this man that was healed of the palsy. This man that was let down through the roof so he could be where Jesus could see him. These men had a zeal to get that man to the Lord. Man, if we would have that kind of zeal. And after he was healed of the palsy, verse 12 says, and he immediately arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. Then look what it says in verse 13. And he went forth again by the seaside. We go on down through the verses here in Mark chapter 3. First five verses here, we see that there was a man that was healed of his withered hand. And when we look about what it says, after this man was healed, it says that the Pharisees, they came and took counsel of Jesus. Mark chapter 3 and verse 1 says, and he entered again into the synagogue. There was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? They held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But then look what it says in verse 7. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. I don't think that it's any wonder why we like to go to the ocean on vacation. It's just such a tranquil place when you get there. But then I began to think about other places that we like to go on vacation, those places that we like to go on retreats to. Some of us like to go to the hills and like to go to the mountains. I know when Carl and I, we were able to go out to Colorado out there and we got to hike up the mountains and went up that mountain trail. When we started out, there was grass when we started out at that elevation. And our guide took us up that hill and slowly we went up that hill. And we got up to the tree line where there was no more trees on those mountains. Grass at the bottom, we got up to the top and there was 4 to 6 inches of snow up there. Along the way, we got to stop and we got to see the beauty that God had created along the way. It was majestic. I thought about Psalms chapter 121 and verse 1. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. We love to go to the mountains. My brothers Randy and Randy. Randy Coffee, Randy Fry. They love to go to the hills. But I also thought of the ultimate hill. The hill called Mount Calvary. It was on that hill was the greatest sacrifice of love that was ever made. Christ laid down His life. He laid it down. They didn't take it from Him. He laid down His life that we might have eternal life. And as people all around the world are looking at today, that's not the end of the story. He was buried, and He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3 says that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. When you look to that hill and you believe that Christ died for your sins, He rose again, and you repent of your sins through faith in Christ Jesus, and by His grace, like we just sang, you're a child of the King. You're one of His sheep. Christ prayed for me a long time ago in His intercessory prayer in the book of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17, when you look over there, verses 18 to 20. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's Christ right there praying for me. I pray that if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I point you to the Lamb of God that gave His life on that hill called Mount Calvary. So is it any wonder why we don't find rest and peace in the mountains? I thought about other places people like to go to. The people in the city, they like to go to the country. People in the country, they like to go to the country still. But I kept reading over in the book of Mark. Back in Mark chapter 6, it was what was given to me, where I thought my lesson was going to be about. The Lord directed my thoughts in a different direction. Over here in the book of Mark, in chapter 6, speaks about a different kind of place. When I was reading here about this, is where we see about the feeding of the 5,000. Said that Christ had looked out over all those who had come. He said that He wouldn't send them away hungry. He took 5 loaves and He took 2 fishes and He fed them all. Filled them up. Not only were they filled up, but there was leftovers there. Mark chapter 6 and verse 42 says, and they did all eat and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So there was over 5,000. But when I look over here what it says in verse 32 that leads up to this, it says, "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them." The next part of this verse is what caught my eye. It says, "And when Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd." Just as Brother Joe said this morning, I have a message here for the sheep at Grace Baptist Church. Jesus loves the sheep here. We have gone through a lot in the past year, as Brother Joe said. And as he said, one of the most loving pastors that we have ever had here stepped down. I always told Brother John, me and him learn together. But there are things in this passage that I want to draw from to be an encouragement to us here at Grace Baptist Church. Christ looked out over all the people, says in this passage. He says they were sheep. I do not know how many were sheep at that time, but it says that he began to teach them many things. As we read there in John chapter 17 about Christ's intercessory prayer, you know, I venture to say that there may have been sheep here that hadn't made that profession of faith yet, that had not believed. But he began to teach them. You know, the one thing that we can never forget in that great commission that has been given to us here, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. That command was for us to go to those lost sheep. The harvest truly is plenteous, and we have that responsibility to reach out to those who are lost. Our friends, our co-workers that we come in contact with from day to day, and those of our family that certainly are on our hearts. That gospel message that we send out today of Christ's work on the cross, about His shed blood for the remissions of sin, through repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, about His death, about His resurrection. He's alive today because He lives. He's still saving those sheep that He chose from the foundation of the world. John chapter 15 and verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. The greatest love ever exhibited on this earth was when Christ laid down His life for His sheep. That's one of the things that I noticed here in Mark chapter 6 about His compassion that He had for the sheep. I've heard a lot of times, a lot of mention about preaching here in the past 3 or 4 months, about expository preaching and about reading scriptures and about how you look at those things. Whether you take a scripture and you look at it, or if you do expository preaching, and if you impose your will on the scriptures, it's not of God. Can it be done with expository preaching? Yes. Can it be done with people taking a verse out of context? It certainly can. But the Bible tells us that we are to take little pieces of God's Word. Don't make it say what we want it to say. Say what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 10 says, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. We don't want to make the Scripture say something that it does not say and make it believable to men. Which is what scares us, doesn't it, Brother Joe? About saying something amiss. About leading someone in the wrong direction. Randy, you know what I'm talking about. That's a responsibility that's given to you. You know, it's one of the things that you'd have to answer to. Which brings me back to see what it says here in Mark about this feeding of the 5,000. Mark chapter 6 and verse 35 says it's a desert place. And now the time is far past. When you look at this place and the time that this crowd was in, it wasn't a good place. The desert was not good for these sheep. Why? Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. You know, sheep are very peculiar animals. I've seen some sheep. I've seen farmers of sheep. I've heard men say, I've heard farmers say, you know, that they're not the smartest animals in the world. Now, don't take that statement and think that I'm directing that towards anybody here, the sheep here at Grace Baptist Church. As Brother Joe said, I'm thankful for all of us that's stepping up. He said Jessica's jumped in with both feet. Look at her shoulder now. I'm thankful for all our brothers and sisters that's done what they're doing. And as he said about Brother Jason back there stepping up and doing that back there, and Austin and doing those things about getting the broadcast over the airways, you know, I tell you right now, I'm a dumb sheep when it comes to that. When Brother Austin's not here and Sister Stephanie's playing, everybody that's taking part in services and the leading of the services. All these things we do are to keep up the work in the feeding of the flock. We're holding to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Paul wrote so many times in the Scriptures about the warnings to the churches about false teachings. And it seems that many times he heard of churches that were following after false teachings when he left them. look at the warning that he gives over in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." He says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I'm amazed about where you sheep are following. Shepherding sheep, it's a hard job. It requires someone to be ever watchful, to be vigilant. You know, I understand shepherds can become tired and they can become overwhelmed. Sheep are prone to wandering off when there's no shepherd. Sheep are animals that are kind of wired to follow after each other. It's been shown that sheep follow each other so much that if one went over the cliff, the others are likely to follow. Without a shepherd, it's hard for sheep to find pastures and water that they need for survival, and the flock can become weak. Sheep are fairly defenseless against the attack of predators, and they can easily be picked off. That's why Paul gives the warnings to the churches about false teachings. Paul told the church at Colossae to beware of men who teach philosophy and legality. There were false teachers that promoted mysticism, urging believers to worship angels rather than God as a sign of humility. But we should follow after what Jesus did when he told Satan. When Satan asked him to worship him, Jesus rebuked him in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 and said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That's why we question these men. We want to know what they believe in. Those men that have come to speak to us, we want to find out what they stand on, see the things that are taught. We want them to teach what's in the Word of God. There have been so many men that if you would have told me what they fell into, I would have never believed it. I remember probably when I was a teenager, I never heard of it before, but started about Universal Church. I listened, kept my mouth shut. I listened and I learned. Men were being drawn into that era of universalism and not the local church. I believe that the Bible teaches the millennial reign of Christ. There are those out there that believe in amillennialism. So we must be vigilant as Christ was when he looked out over this 5,000 because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And it says that he began to teach them many things. We need to follow the teachings of God's Word. Now, I said, you know, that I want to offer a word of encouragement for us today. And I look at the things that's happened to Grace Baptist Church in the past year, and I think about all that's still happening and all the things that are still going on today with this COVID pandemic. And I understand, you know, we stopped our services and our meetings together for a while there. And even though we had the services over the internet, I believe that we did get fed. It's still not being the same as being together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That bond of love that is there with the saints. Our services are still scaled back a little bit. We're trying to get back all the way. I hope soon that we will be able to start up our Wednesday evening services again. And I'm going to throw something out there. You know what I'd like to see in our Wednesday evening services? Yes, I know that it needs to be centered around the Word of God, but I'd like to see it be a true prayer service. When we get together and we offer our hearts up to the Lord, Brother John stepped away from being the pastor of a church here at Grace this year, and we all loved him. We continue to pray for him as he seeks the Lord's direction into his life, as we do for each and every one of the sheep here. I look out of all of us here and I think about what happened to us in the past year and still happening to each of us today, the trials that we go through. We've had loved ones that have died in the past year, and they've gone on, and they've left voids in our heart. And it was hard when we went through them because of that COVID pandemic. I think about Nancy losing her dad. I think about Dennis and Kristen losing their friend. We all have sicknesses in our families right now. I think about what Jason and Stephanie have gone through with Jason losing his aunt. I know Joe and Jamie's parents. I think about Randy and Brenda Coffey. I think about our elderly, Sister Janice, about what she has gone through with Bud. I think about Sister Barb. I'm thankful that we have Sister Sharon and Sister Reva with us here today. That's an encouragement when you have the elderly come out. I talked to Sister Diane on the phone, and it's hard for her to be away from her husband. My heart aches for what my family's going through right now with Alicia. I told Randy before the service, I said, whoever said grandparenting was easy, they're wrong. Grandparenting is just as hard as being a parent. It all makes us feel like we're in a desert place. In times like these, there's only one place that we can turn to. That's Christ. And the compassion that it says that He has for His sheep. So where's the encouragement? You know, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. What a great leader he was. He wasn't without fault. There came a time in his life when he could not lead any longer. Moses was 120 years old. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 and 2 says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I guess it was his birthday. I can no more go out and come in. As the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Moses was stepping down as the leader of the children of Israel. But you know what? God had a plan. He had Joshua. I want to overturn to, if you haven't, turn over to the book of Numbers, chapter 27. Time here where Moses is beginning to prepare, it looks like, for his death. And I want to read these verses here because some of the very things that we see that are written in the book of Mark chapter 6 are right here within these verses. Beginning here in verse 15 it says, And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of all spirits, of all flesh, set a man over this congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. So that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep that have no shepherd. I do not know yet who God has in store for us at Grace Baptist Church to shepherd the flock here. But I do know that God's got a plan. God has a man. Maybe it's one of the men that have preached for us already. Maybe it's one of the men that we have lined up and we haven't heard them speak yet. I do know that the man that God sends us, we'll know it. And I also believe that He's going to know it. But until that time, until that man is given to us, we're going to keep on keeping on by the grace of God. And after that man's given to us, we're going to still keep on keeping on. We're going to keep on to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We're going to help that man just like he's going to feed us. I do want to close with a song this morning. And if you have the Berea, Brother Austin, if you want to come up and play. In the Berea, it's number 377. And in the Rejoice hymn book, it's number 119. Whichever, Brother Austin, whichever one you want to play, we'll sing the first and the last verse. How great is thy faithfulness. Let's all stand up, please. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for